This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 206 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's been like a week and a half since I've been in your ears, and it feels good to be back. Hope you guys had a great holiday and won all of the fantasy football championships. Just so you guys know, now that we're in the fantasy football offseason, the podcast per week will drop from 3 to 2. I'll have one episode each week on a random topic, and then the other show will be the mailbag one. So if you have questions for this week's mailbag, definitely hit me up on Twitter. And during the offseason, I'll open my email back up for questions. So you can email me at jj@numberfire.com with those questions. Remember, the longer they are, the more difficult they are to answer. But I do want to get into deeper questions now that it's the offseason, and that's a good way to get to those questions. But on to today's show. I did this episode last year and people seemed to enjoy it, so I figured that I'd bring it back. With the NFL playoffs starting this weekend, a lot of you are probably participating in some sort of fantasy contest. The problem is, unlike typical season-long fantasy, there's usually not one singular way to play postseason fantasy football. There's no uniform format. The two main ways that people play during the playoffs is either they draft a team at the beginning of the playoffs and keep those players throughout, or they play a one-and-done type format. In that type of format, you can pick anyone on any of the playoff teams, but you can only use that player once. Now, given these structures, unlike our usual fantasy football game, you're far more concerned with how teams are actually going to perform. You care about whether a team wins or not. In your season-long league, you just care if your wide receiver gets targets and yards and touchdowns. His team can win or lose, it doesn't really matter. But in these playoff formats, you need to understand team performance. Because if you're in a playoff-long format where you draft a team at the start of the playoffs and you pick players on teams that lose, then you're all of a sudden screwed. And if you're in a one-and-done type format, you need to make sure that you're strategically selecting players based on whether or not their team is going to move on. You essentially need to save players. In other words, if you think the Ravens are going to go on a run and win the Super Bowl, you probably don't want to load up on Ravens in the wildcard round in those types of formats. That limits your options in later rounds. So this means two things. First, you should have a good grasp on team Super Bowl odds. And then second, you should use the same processes that you use throughout the season to then optimize your lineup based on matchups. On today's show, we're mostly going to focus on that first thing. Navigating Super Bowl odds and understanding current matchups, but also future matchups, is really important to these playoff contests. We know that team record isn't the best indicator of how good a team actually is. That has to do with both strength of schedule and how games were won. I used this example on last year's podcast, but if a team goes 10-6 and all 10 of those wins were on last-second field goals, you'd probably question how good that 10-6 team actually is. They were clearly very lucky during the regular season since they won so many close games. That's why numbers-driven analysts like myself will often look at point differential to see how well a team is actually performing. Or you can take it a step further and look at NumberFire's nerd metric. That factors in things like point differential as well as strength of opponent. Nerd tells us the number of points a team would be expected to win by against an average one on a neutral field. So if a team has a nerd of 3, they'd be expected to win by a field goal against a completely average team. If they were facing a team with a nerd of -6, then they'd be expected to win by 9 on a neutral field. Now obviously nerd is going to align with playoff teams pretty well. Good teams make the playoffs, and good teams also have high nerd ratings. And we're seeing that this year. According to Nerd, among the top 10 teams, only one didn't make the playoffs, that team being Pittsburgh. And unlike last year, we don't have many outlier playoff teams. In 2017, Buffalo was like a bottom 5 team according to Nerd, but they made the playoffs. They were bound to not make a whole lot of noise in the postseason. And that made it easier to pinpoint players to use in these postseason playoff formats. But this year, things are pretty different. This year, all playoff teams rank in the top 14 in Nerd. It's a pretty good group of teams. The only two teams ranking outside the top 11 in Nerd to make the playoffs this season were Dallas and Philadelphia. Dallas ranks 13th, and Philly is the worst playoff team according to the metric, ranking 14th. But again, we're not talking about big outliers here. They're both teams that deserve to be dancing right now. That's going to make things more difficult. It's going to make things tougher to predict. So I want to get that out of the way. According to NumberFire's algorithm, the 4 teams with first-round buys have by far the highest odds to win the Super Bowl. But that's to be expected. They're already a game ahead of every other team. So their odds are naturally higher. For what it's worth, NumberFire has them ranked as the Chiefs first, the Patriots second, the Rams third, and the Saints fourth. But all of their odds are really close. What's really key in these contests is finding the wildcard round teams who can make runs. because depending on the type of game that you're playing, you're either going to want to target players from those teams or you're going to want to avoid players on those teams because you want to save them for later rounds. NumberFire's algorithm thinks the Bears have the best chance to make a run of all the teams playing this weekend. They've got 7.6% odds of winning the Super Bowl. Baltimore, the team with the second best odds, is at 5%. What's interesting, though, is that the Chargers are right behind Baltimore. I think most football fans could see why that's the case. Nerd actually has the Ravens and the Chargers as better teams than the Chiefs this year. The reason the Chiefs are favorites in the AFC is mostly due to home field advantage. But it seems reasonable to think that no matter who the Ravens or Chargers play in round two, there's a decent chance we see a higher scoring game than what will go down this weekend. The Chargers-Ravens game has a 41.5-point over-under, which is a pretty low total. The Chiefs' lowest over-under game this season was 48 points, and all but five of their games went over. Meanwhile, the lowest game total in a New England contest this season was 44.5. So this is especially true for the Chargers because they're playing the Baltimore defense this weekend, but chances are, whoever wins this game will be involved in a higher scoring game next week. Obviously, anything can happen, though. That's the thing. We're playing probability here. This isn't a for sure thing. But by thinking this way, you can gain an edge over your competition. So with that Chargers-Ravens game, if you're in a one-and-done type format, I'd be inclined to not use many players from that game and use players from the winning team next week where there may be a more advantageous matchup, especially if the Chargers win. If the Chargers win, they're going to face the Chiefs or the Patriots next week and not the Baltimore defense. This does not include the Ravens defense, though, if you have a defense slot in your lineup. I actually think Baltimore's a smart play considering their future in the playoffs might feature games against New England and Kansas City and they won't be playing at home. Now, obviously with the Colts-Texans game, the winner of that should be in store for a higher scoring second round contest as well. Or at least a game where there should be a decent amount of scoring. But that game is much more interesting from a fantasy perspective in round one that I think that you can use players from both sides. Andrew Luck in particular is interesting considering he crushed Houston this year. He threw for 863 yards in two games and an 8.4 yards per attempt average. So that's really the AFC. That's how you should handle the AFC games. If you're in a league where you can only use a player once, I would probably be using players from the Colts-Texans game this week, all while saving the winner of the Chargers-Ravens game for next week. And if you need to pick players from teams that will go the distance, NumberFire's algorithm likes the chances for LA and Baltimore. Both of them are top six in Nerd, and the Chargers actually rank better than both New England and Kansas City. The NFC features what NumberFire in Vegas see as the most lopsided game of the wildcard round, and that's between Chicago and Philadelphia. This is part of the reason Chicago has the best odds to make a Super Bowl run among the wildcard round teams. It's because they're most likely to get a win this weekend. But Chicago's also NumberFire's second-ranked team in football. They've got a Nerd of 8.44, which is higher than New Orleans. That doesn't mean NumberFire would project them to beat the Saints, especially in the playoffs where the Saints would be at home. It's mostly just telling us that Chicago is for real and they could be a tough team to beat. So knowing that they have the best odds to move on in round one, if you're playing in a league where you're drafting a team at the beginning of the playoffs and sticking with that team, Chicago players aren't bad options. Of course, this advice could just go south if they have a bad game, but again, this is about probability. The problem with this being the most lopsided game is in formats where you can't use players more than once throughout the playoffs. I say this because ideally, if we're most confident that Chicago's going to win this weekend, then we'd want to use some Eagles players because we won't be able to use them in future rounds. But it's the Chicago defense. It's the best defense in football according to NumberFire's schedule-adjusted expected points model. I mean, throughout the regular season in our typical fantasy leagues, we were avoiding this defense from a matchup standpoint. So you can't exactly load up on Eagles players in one-and-done formats. The Bears did see a large percentage of their receiving yards allowed go to wide receivers this season, so perhaps that's the direction that you go. Maybe you want to use Alshon Jeffery. And we know that Zach Ertz is capable of performing regardless of matchup. But stacking the Eagles from a process standpoint seems pretty unwise. And then with Chicago, if they do indeed get through, they've got a matchup against LA in the second round where points should be scored. Because remember, as a 3 seed, they won't be playing in New Orleans next week if they win. So saving a lot of Bears players makes sense this week. NumberFire's win probability model has the Seahawks-Cowboys game as the closest one of the week. That's not all that shocking considering the point spread in that game is just 1.5 points. I think one of the fears for this game from a fantasy standpoint is pace of play. In neutral game script situations this year, Seattle ranked 26th in seconds per play while Dallas was 17th. And overall, Seattle was the 7th slowest team in 2018 and Dallas was the 9th slowest. That's no surprise considering both teams want to run the ball offensively. When running plays with a score within a 6-point margin this year, so a neutral game script, no team was more run-heavy than Seattle. They had a 0.84 pass-to-rush attempt ratio in neutral game scripts, which was easily the most run-heavy ratio in the league this year. And in these situations, Dallas was the 20th most pass-heavy. So again, it's a game of two teams wanting to run the football. But here's the thing, I could definitely understand using Ezekiel Elliott in a format where you can't use players more than once. There's no guarantee that Dallas gets through this game. But if they do win, there's a good chance that they see New Orleans next week because Chicago is a decent favorite this weekend. That game will be in New Orleans, and when Zeke faced the Saints earlier this season, he ran the ball 23 times for just 75 yards. The Saints have a better rush defense than the Seahawks do. Elliott was utilized heavily as a receiver against the Saints, but with an elite asset in fantasy football, you're really trying to hit on their ceiling game in these playoff formats. And in this particular contest this weekend, Dallas is at home, which is a huge plus for a running back, and they've got a better matchup for the back. And Seattle's been pretty bad against pass-catching running backs this year. They've allowed the third most receiving yards to the position. And considering the Cowboys may not even win, I do think that Elliott is a smart play. Now, I haven't talked all that much about the teams with first-round buys, but each of them should clearly be considered in formats where you're drafting once and going from there. Just to reiterate, NumberFire's Super Bowl odds list the Chiefs first, then the Patriots, then the Rams, and then the Saints. But each of those teams are within 2 percentage points of one another. So they're all in a great spot to make a run. And this is probably a good time to mention that over the last 5 years, the Super Bowl has included 9 1-seeds and 1 2-seed. We haven't seen a team who's played on Wild Card Weekend make it to the Super Bowl since the 2012 season when Baltimore won as a 4-seed. And Ben Baldwin, or at Ben B. Baldwin on Twitter, he sent me this little nugget today. In that 5-year time period, over the last 5 years, home teams are 25-5 in divisional and conference championship rounds. That bodes very well for the teams with first round buys. And if you're playing in a format where you draft a team at the start of the playoffs, you'll want to target players from those teams. If I were to sum this all up, I'd say this. Most wildcard teams will face higher scoring games in round two. I think you could probably argue that all of them will. And while the Bears had the best odds in this wildcard round to make a run this year, both the Ravens and Chargers have been better than their seed indicates according to NumberFire's nerd metric. So it shouldn't shock anyone if those two teams are able to make some noise. That should dictate how you create your fantasy playoff teams. Now, these things aren't certainties, but by playing probability this way, you're increasing your chances of winning against others who aren't thinking as deeply about these contests. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. It was great to be back. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And I'm also on Twitter, at LateRoundQB. And remember, you can hit me up on there if you've got a mailbag question for me this week, or you can now email me at jj@numberfire.com. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you in a couple of days.